Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project Governance Committee, and if the minutes can reflect that Supervisor Potter is here representing the county, Rich Finland is here representing Cal-Am, Jason Burnett is here representing the Water Authority, and the Water Management District representative is not currently available. And Ian, if you can please lead us in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now turn to public comment. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the Governance Committee on any item not on today's agenda. Michael?
This is a pro forma comment, but that the water supply problem, which is being addressed, is possible to solve by other methods rather than a desalinization facility. And there's a legal obligation of the county of Monterey to look at reasonable alternatives, and this should be done before just assuming that there is a project and carrying forward with that. And I request that, you know, there is plenty of time to figure this out. And anyway, I'm just hoping that at some point the goodwill of Monterey County can be focused on solving this problem in a reasonable way.
Thank you, Michael, for your comments. Would anyone else wish to address the Water Authority on any item not on today's agenda? I'll simply note that the draft EIR is expected to be out this quarter, and that, of course, will look at the proposed project and alternatives, and that will be a context to further make the point that, that Mr. Ward-Merton just made. We'll turn to action item one, which is approve request for proposal for test slant well construction consisting of three separate packages. And Ian is here to give a report. And I'll note I asked for Arlene to distribute the recommendations that the Governance Committee provided a little over a year ago for the RFP for the desal facility, in case any of those recommendations are relevant here, and simply as a reminder. So that's a one page that's available and I think available to the public.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yeah, so I'm here to present to you the RFPs. But what I thought I'd do first is just show you the schedule of where we are with the test well, just so you know the context of our RFP schedule. So here we are at the top. This is the CEMEX test well schedule. And at the top, you can see we've just completed our first Planning Commission meeting up here at the top, 7-2. And currently what we're looking at is it is going to go to City Council now on appeal, but it would not be heard until 8:26 at Marina. So, and after that, of course, we move to Coastal Commission, and then we get to the Coastal Commission meeting in October. So with that known, we also have to accelerate and to keep on schedule this the test well. So in front of you today is the RFPs to go out to bid for all the test well construction items. It's the drilling of the test well, it is the monitoring wells, and it is also the civil work related to the test well. And our hope here is that we will get through Coastal in October and we'll start activity out here in November. You can see down here at the bottom is our timeline, is what I spoke to. It's a test well RFP preparation, which is in front of you. We have a little cleanup to do after this meeting. We'll get them approved in July and get them sent out by the end of the month, beginning of August. And then during August, we'll receive the bids, evaluate them, and bring them forward to the governance committee for input, and then we'll execute them shortly thereafter and move forward. And, hopefully, we're in line with that with approvals of the environmental document as well. So the way the RFPs are structured are two actual RFP contracts. The first contract is the drilling contract for the slant test well with the monitoring wells. And the way the RFP package is structured is that a contractor can either bid on just the slant well, bid on just the monitoring wells, or bid on both. If they can construct both, but they have to be able to do it in our schedule. So that's the way we structured the first RFP. And then we put together a separate RFP just for the civil work, which is to connect to the outfall, build the electrical, and build the wellhead. So that's how we've put together the packages. And this allows us to also sort of stage our work, stage our RFPs, and somewhat spread the risk of executing the project. So that's what's being presented to you today. And just to give you an idea of cost estimate of the work, this is what we're projecting as a cost to do the slant well. So we have about $3 million to actually build the test well itself. And another component that I would like to point out is this here, the 2.3, the top line, that is the RFP, that's what the RFP would cover for the test well. This part here, material advance purchase, that's something that we as Cal-Am need to do now. These are long lead items. The pump in particular is 20 to 24 weeks. We need to order that now. And then also we have pump columns, the casing, and the screening for the well. All of that should be ordered as well. Except the screen, I just point out as a technical, get into the details, but screen-wise, the screen, we're going to do the PO, but it can't actually be manufactured until we do the slant well, do the pilot hole. They determine, you know, the grain sizes, and they got to determine the louver size on the screens before they can actually manufacture it. But that's a 16-week lead, so we, again, it's a tight time frame. So at least we want to get the vendor on board and have them, the stamped stainless steel ready, and then we can just cut the louvers in it later. So that's where that's at. And then the monitoring wells under that, again, we're estimating about $700K for that. And then the civil work is about another $700,000. So we're estimating about $4.5 million, $4.4 million for the site model.
Let me add something to that real quick. So this we applied, California American Water applied for a grant to help fund some of this. And we applied under the pilot program, not under the construction program, because it is a test well, and that had $1 million limit. We are currently on the short list. We're ranked number one in that category, and they're recommending that we would receive that $1 million grant. So that's certainly the big chunk out of that.
Who's getting this money?
This is Prop 50, State of California, so it's the State Water Resources Control Board that's administering the grant. That was, I guess they came out about a week ago. We believe a letter will be forthcoming from the state here in a couple weeks. There's a public comment period that was open for people to look at their recommended list. They're awarding about $8 million in total for desal projects across the state of California.
$8 million.
And we're getting $1 million of it. Yep.
I had misunderstood. I thought we'd already received that. I actually just thanked John Laird for the $1 million.
Oh, so I'll go correct the record. Well, we're listed to get it, but it's not technically happened yet.
I'll thank him for being on the short list.
So that concludes what I was here to show you. If you have any questions?
Any questions?
What's the civil work entail?
Civil work entails connection to the outfall, PCA's outfall for the water, discharge water from the well, the electrical conduit out to the wellhead from Cemex's plant site, and a little bit of the wellhead construction, flow meters, the headers, everything above ground, semi.
So there's another, to add to what Ian said too, I mean, we broke the packages into packages that we believe there are experts that are, who are better suited to that package. So, you know, we know there's only a couple vendors that do slant wells. So that piece that they're good at, they'll do that piece. We may be able to find a cheaper guy who can do the vertical monitoring wells. You know, and it could be a firm that we used Cascade last time, so they may be interested in doing that work. The idea being that, hey, you know, if you lump it all together, they may be summing it out because that's not their area of expertise, but the guy who does slant test wells doesn't want to lose the job and told us it was all one big package. And that also kind of works around, you know, we're trying, really the most important part is to get the slant test well on first. And then the other things are more inland and less affected by snowy plow, but we could work through those things.
So I had two questions. One is, what are the pros and cons of combining these such that it would seem that it, in some ways it would reduce risk because you would be putting on whoever is awarded the bid the obligation to coordinate between the test well construction and the civil construction, and to the extent that there's integration between those two, all of that risk would be on them, right, instead of on Cal-Am and eventually the Cal-Am ratepayers. Alternatively, you just described some of the merits for breaking it apart. Why would we not put this all as one package and expect the bidders to pull together their own teams and subcontractors as appropriate?
Well, and I think Ian mentioned that for the top two, the monitoring wells and the slant well, those are definitely a package going out together, and they can bid on either one or together as a combined price. The civil work is actually lagging a little bit in where we are. It's not quite ready to go out on the street, and so we were going to hold it back as a separate process. Now, if that's if you think we should do that, to lump them all together just because of the merits you said, I think we still have time to make that happen.
Well, if there's a timing issue, I can understand, yep, that. But if it's it all other things being equal, at least giving that as an option, such that if there is a team that wants to come in and bid on all three, and part of their bid may be to make the case that by taking on all three, they're actually able to reduce risk to the client. That I'm just recognizing that that's in essence what we did with the RFP for the design build of the desal plant itself. We asked them to take on the burden of pulling together a team of many disparate subcontractors.
And my thought on that was the slant well drillers, that is their specialty. It's not civil work. So you know, they kind of want to get in, drill the well, get going to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not interested in doing, you know, 2,000 feet of 3-inch conduit for the power.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how we set up. We know there's some firms locally that can do that, and we have a feel for that. Okay. We can monitor the cost. Now, the monitoring wells, they could do that, and so that is why those were kind of lumped together.
My second question is with respect to the timeline, and if you can, I think I gave a preview of this question,
yep,
in an email earlier today, but. If there are any modifications to the project that come out of either the Marina City process or the Coastal Commission process, how will those modifications be incorporated into the RFP and the contract execution?
You want to take? I'll let you go and I'll add.
So that's one of the reasons too why we staged it. We don't, at the moment, we don't expect too much changes to the actual slant well. The mitigations that we're aware of now in the MND will be captured in it.
Right.
The civil stuff is coming later. Actually, as far as release, we still have to button up design and stuff on the civil. And anything that will come out of Coastal or Marina, we expect would be more civil-related package, and we can adjust to that later. Anything that does come up on slant well and monitoring well, again, we're not going to award these until August, late August, early September, which would be after Marina, so we know a little bit of Marina. We won't know Coastal, but we'll have to adjust depending on that.
Okay, so none of them will be awarded until after the 26th
no.
of August.
Right.
and the civil will not be awarded. They're not broken out in this. But when would civil be awarded?
It wouldn't be until September.
Okay, but still before close.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Any other questions for Ian? Thank you, Ian. This is a public hearing. Any member of the public wish to address the Governance Committee on this item? Mike?
I think the Coastal Commission might have some ideas about what's happening, and the economics are very likely to change, and this project is born in an environment where there's tremendous public concern about the area of sunk costs. And several statements were made about risk. The public will be paying phenomenally more for this water than for the water that it purchases now. And the legal environment for the distribution of water in California is changing very rapidly. And the risks that are being placed on the public in paying for this project are extremely high. And the Coastal Commission will probably be considering the financing of desalinization technology in California and whether it's reasonable. And if these contracts are awarded before that Coastal Commission meeting, there's a tremendous assumption of risk that the public may be wondering about, and I'm concerned about that.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. Anyone else wish to address the Governance Committee on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment, and let's take up that very question. What happens if, for sake of argument, the Coastal Commission does not grant coastal development permit in perhaps the extreme case, and then we can talk about some other scenarios. Can you describe how the contract that would be executed before that October meeting would handle that scenario?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things that could happen. Let's say they have some requirements that we didn't know about.
Right,
so those would have to be negotiated out with that contractor. And no different than it would be negotiated out with the contractor for desalination if they put a requirement that we're not aware of.
Right.
And unfortunately, yeah, that's a risk, but there's not much we can do about that because of the timing of where things are. If they deny it altogether, then we would not, they would be awarded of the contract, but they would not be given a notice to proceed because we would need their permit to be satisfied before the contractor is allowed to go. The risk that we have, and the important part of it that Ian talked about, is there's some long lead items that we need to order. So we need to order the pump, the submersible motor, and the super duplex steel used for the casing and the screen. Now, we can't punch the louvers in the screen yet, so that wouldn't be done yet, so we wouldn't do that until we have coal. But there would be some materials that are purchased. We talked about that as $700,000, roughly. So that would be basically sitting there, not used. The Coastal Commission denied that or pushed it out. Now, if ultimately they were to approve it, then that would be used for the next project.
Or alternatively, if we did go to the backup location of Potrero Road, would that same equipment be, or how much of that $700,000
would be reusing all of that same $700,000? It's pretty much the same test well type of specification for that other site.
Okay. And the notice to proceed, when would... So you would execute a contract, they would presumably be spending some money between that September or late August, September execution and the Coastal Commission meeting. But if the Coastal Commission meeting denied the permit, who's on the hook for whatever money is spent during that intervening 6 weeks?
Yeah, so technically, if they're, you know, they're not allowed to claim anything until there's a notice of award. So they would be at risk if they started spending a lot of their time on the contract prior to notice of award. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. Now, what we did on the desal project, and we can talk about it if we need to do that here, is we authorized CDM up to $2.5 million in the advance work up to the issuance of the CPCN, because we needed to get certain things done, but we didn't want them going all the way. So we could do something similar here if that was an issue. We could say, hey, we're going to give you contract, you're limited to $50,000 or $100,000 of planning effort, and but you don't get, you can't go full steam ahead until you have a notice to proceed on, which would come after the permit.
Which would come after the coastal
compliance. Right.
Okay.
Dave, any other questions?
I'm just reviewing the recommendations from the
yep.
desal from May 28th.
The rate of corrosion piece seems kind of obvious.
Yeah. Right.
What can the beach practically? Right. It's a marine environment.
Does this have the same local hiring inclusion that the RFP for the desal?
We do not have that currently in there. And primarily we realize and we know that the slant wheel guy, which is the bulk of the cost, he's not a local person. So there's, now for some of the other parts, for the civil site package, we could certainly, and I would expect that to be a local firm that would get that.
Yeah, I would think the civil would have much more local opportunity than the drilling itself.
Right.
I would suggest that we ask for the local hiring that's written the same way that it was in the May 28, 2015 document for the civil construction. I understand why it
yep.
would apply well for the slant wheel construction. And I guess I'm not clear on the monitoring well, whether or not it.
There's a good chance that won't be local either. I mean, the driller that we used for the boreholes, the 13 boreholes we ended up doing, they were not local. And it's pretty hard to come by.
No. But the Monterey County ordinance doesn't, it's not ironclad in the sense that it excludes.
Well, basically, best faith efforts, you know.
Right. So it would seem that having best faith efforts is fine if it turns out that there's a compelling case for hiring someone outside of the area for the monitoring wells that don't simply need
right.
to be documented.
Okay,
you can do that. So I'd be comfortable with that applying to both monitoring wells and civil construction. Of course, rate of corrosion as
yep.
supervisor mentions. And then, I think specifying what money is at risk between the award of the contract and the notice to proceed following the Coastal Commission permit, I think that would be appropriate. As per Michael Burton's comment, it would place a cap on the risk. I wouldn't necessarily be prepared to put forward a dollar figure today, but I would ask that a similar approach be taken to what we did with respect to the desal RFP and the notice to proceed there. That make
no.
sense to you? All those
no.
items?
No, the only one that I most couldn't agree with more is the fact that nobody actually has any control over the permitting process. So trying to hold somebody to a schedule, even permitter, is often very difficult, as we've discovered so far.
Yeah. Right. You want to make a motion?
Sure.
Well, I move to incorporate the Governance Committee's recommendations as noted, and go ahead and approve with the format for the RFPs.
Second. And Arlene, is it clear what the direction is? Okay. I have that in my notes as well. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously.
Overwhelmingly.
Yes. Be awkward to have a split vote here. Okay. Thank you very much, Ian and Rich, for that.
that. We'll move on to reports from the committee. First item is, reports to committee. First item is a progress report from California American Water on development of Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project East Desalination Plant. And this was simply a status report, but also reflecting that we had the value engineering process complete, the in-person meetings complete recently. We had a joint meeting of the Water Authority and the Governance Committee earlier this month, but we want to take this opportunity if there's any updates to that that the Governance Committee should be aware of, including what the timeline is for receiving the written report, when we'll need to make sure we're engaged to provide our recommendations.
I also have on the slide our standard schedule. Troy has, which has not changed. This is the overall schedule that everyone has seen before. We are generally tracking well on the overall project schedule. The only hiccup seems to be this test well. Other than that, everything's proceeding along well. CDM's doing very well on desal design. As you mentioned, we had the value engineering session. That final report is due in July. We'll get that report, and then quickly thereafter, we're looking at like a 60% design to reach the desal plant in September. And then we have our pipeline contracts, all the work and design that's going on, that is progressing well. Maybe another meeting I could bring forward more of a detail on the pipeline schedule so you get a little visibility into that. A lot of work has been done with easements, layouts, reservoirs, so a lot has been done. Maybe next meeting I'll give you a little more detail on that. And then just gave an update on the test well. And then a CPUC at the top, as far as we know, is progressing. We're Q3 draft EIR and then a final in Q1. And that's the update.
Okay. Any questions for Ian on this broad update? Dave?
Good luck.
Yeah, on the draft EIR, we're now in Q3. It's not out as of last time I checked my email. Any sense of where they are, where the PUC team is?
I mean, from what I've heard, it will be towards the end of September.
Okay.
And they are, they're trying to coordinate with the EIR for the groundwater replenishment project as well. And so there's some coordination efforts that I understand are taking place now, but. At this point, I've not heard that it slipped, but in their definition of Q3 goes through September 30th.
Right.
So,
okay. And any updates? The technical memo for the hydrogeologist working group has been released. Any broad summary of that and the implications for the project?
I gotta address that. So yeah, so the borehole technical memo, which is part of the working plan that was put out, was released. I think we're starting to get questions and comments from folks. Remember, that's just one step in the process, and basically what that does is it kind of sets in stone what the group found and was able to identify so that the model could be made. The groundwater modeling that has to take place as part of that EIR process. So they're with that behind them now. They're focusing on doing the model runs, and those model runs hopefully will make it into the EIR to look at impacts, if any, and how this thing's going to work. So my understanding is that's going on right now. We've been getting questions about assumptions for the model. Does all the wells run 24/7? Those type of things. How do you rotate through the wells? So we know that those guys who run models are looking at setting that up and running them. There's about 20-something different model runs varying from baseline conditions with no slant wells, with full-size slant wells, with GWRs, smaller well fields. All those analyses are being done. And they're also looking at what do you do long-term when, if our desal plant ever shut off, what's the end condition? Those are all the things that they're addressing.
So. And I know that I've asked this multiple times, but we continue to get questions and from members of the public with respect to the
schedule for the EIR relative to the schedule for the test well itself. And the results of the test well will not be, and our at least right now the thinking is that they, those results will not be necessary in terms of the EIR work. They will be necessary in terms of the commercial decisions that Cal-AM needs to make about the viability of the wells, but that the test well is not, the data from that will not be used for the EIR.
That's my understanding, and from a time perspective, but there's no way really around that. And I would add that on the last project, they had a similar issue. I mean, the test wells were required after the issuance of the CPC and after the issuance of the EIR on the last project, so it's not like we're going in uncharted territory. It's pretty much the same. My understanding is that they believe the modeling work is sufficient to cover impacts and be able to provide the CEQA coverage for those impacts, and that's why they're making that decision. Okay. And that's their decision to make, you know, not, certainly not.
And the only other item I add just is Petrero Road. We finished the project description for that, and we expect to floated that by the county already. And so we expect to formally file that application by the end of this month, next week or so.
Okay. That's right. Good update there. But in any case, it will not be, even if things don't go well with Marina, that would not be available for this. We face the same nesting season constraint, even though that's in a parking lot, or
no,
because it's in a disturbed area?
That's right.
Okay. Anything else? This is the public, thank you, Ian. This is the public hearing. Oh, sure.
What question, Dave Stolt, Water Management District. I think I heard for the first time about the long lead.
And actually, Dave, I'm sorry, but
since
your office is out.
Dave Stolt, Water Management District. I think I heard Rich for the first time about long lead time procurement issues.
Yes.
You mentioned like 20 months for the pump.
Not months.
Weeks.
Yes.
Okay. Good enough.
No heart attack necessary.
Hi, George Riley. I think I saw an email just today that mentioned a 2-year baseline of data from the test well. I'm just trying to tie the 2 years to, and I maybe it's two different questions, I'm not sure it's tied together. Your schedule shows test well phase one, phase two, and phase three. I asked this once before, I think I got a satisfactory answer in my opinion, I forgot what the answer was. But I'm trying to understand what the phase two, one and two is in relation to a 2-year database slide requirement.
Let me just see if there's any other public comments before any other public comments, Mike?
Yeah, there was one on the notion of the test well data and the relation to the environmental impact statement. I think a great deal of test well data needs to be found to find out how many wells are going to need to be drilled. I mean, is it 6 wells or is it 20 wells? And the impacts are much, much greater if it's 20 wells than if it's 6. And it would seem that not only for commercial going forward, but to make a decision as to how many wells you need to drill in order to get the amount of water that you need, you also need data. And I'm a little concerned about the decision to just say that it's irrelevant to the environmental impact reporting process.
Thank you, Michael, for your comments. Anyone else wish to address the Governance Committee on this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back and let's take up first George Riley's question about, if I can summarize, hearing some people talk about 2 years of testing. What is Cal-AM's?
So I'll answer it and Ian can So for the test well application to the city of Marina, we said that we could operate this up to 2 years. So we need to have a window and make sure we provide the longest duration possible. The hydro working group folks don't think 2 years is needed. They think they're gonna be able to identify the trend and what's going on a lot faster than that. So where we are in that total picture, I don't have an exact answer for you. It could be 12 months, it could be 3 months, it could be 18 months. But the idea is we've got it covered to run for 2 years. Now remember, there's some overlap between the CEQA coverage for the test well and the CEQA coverage for the EIR for the whole project. And so 2 years gets us into the full project, okay? And so that's gonna inform, you know, 2 years gives us plenty of time to do what we need to do.
So the duration of the test period will be a condition of the permit from the Coastal Commission. I mean, that's, I think, where you're gonna have the discussion is, you know, how long a period of testing is the commission gonna mandate?
That's right. They could.
They could disagree and they could say it needs to be, you know, 18 months instead of 12 months or something like that. I mean, that's, I think that'll be the issue with the commission.
Last time the staff report was 2 years.
Yeah, I'm just, I pulled those as hypothetical.
So when you're saying 2 years, that's a maximum in terms of CEQA coverage. What I'm hearing you say is that Coastal Commission may actually set a minimum. They may say we want to see at least X number of months.
Yeah. That would allow for any, you know, nuances in weather or, you know, drought, no drought, monsoon, no monsoon.
Right. And then we've lost this up here.
Do you want
washed out or what? But then I think George Riley was asking about the test well phase 1, 2, and 3, and I believe that's the construction of the production wells where you'd have a bank of a certain number, which we'll get into Michael's question. But that those construction windows, of course, also have to avoid the snowy plover mating season, and so that's why it's broken into a couple discrete construction windows. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And phase three, it says if needed, because we don't really know the final number. To back to your point, to Michael's point, how many do we need? From the applicant perspective, we tell the PUC, you know, best case is we need probably 8 with a couple standby. Worst case is we need 15. I mean, we put that into the application. Then this is, we have to have some coverage because we don't know the final design. The PUC then has to look at how they handle that from an environmental perspective. And of course, once the draft comes out, we'll have a feel for how they handle that.
And so you're have requested CEQA coverage to cover at least 15, if that.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, somewhere we basically said a well could go anywhere between 1,500 gallons a minute and 2,500 gallons a minute, depending on what that number is, will determine the total number needed.
Okay, this is just a progress report. If there's no other questions, we'll move on to update on development of a landfill gas term sheet. This is has been a standing item, and I Jim Cullen is on vacation today, so unless there's someone else who has any information on this. I believe that there was or is an agenda item on the Waste Management District's upcoming agenda with respect to going out to RFP for a short period of time while the plant is constructed. I don't know, Ian, if you have an update on that.
Yeah, that's right. There's a meeting Friday about that. So we had a meeting with landfill about the power purchase agreement 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we discussed that. But our time frame doesn't line up with their expiration of their current agreement. So they're looking to go out and get another short-term 3 to 5 year purchase of their power. And then we would come in at the tail end of that as an opportunity to purchase power.
Okay. Right. So, yeah, we essentially said don't wait on us here. And if you, and we don't know what the terms of that agreement will be for them, but even if they went out to 19 or 20, that doesn't really, yeah, we could be up and running, but it's not like it's forever, their power purchase agreement. So,
you'd have to buy power off the grid for 1 or 2 years, and then you could switch over if it made sense to do so. I'll open it to the public. Michael.
Yeah, in terms of the use of landfill power on the Monterey Peninsula, that new source of green power should be used to offset existing uses of power. It should not be looked at as sort of a reservoir for, you know, new projects, because that much energy has never been used for public water supply. And essentially in this time of climate change, one of the issues involved in the desalinization plan is the amount of energy that's being used. And if you get it off, you know, through the regular matter, it's the carbon impact is significant. If you get it from the new, you're keeping that new source of power from offsetting already existing uses. And I think this is an issue of public debate for the Monterey Peninsula as to how this should be used and whether it should be committed to a project like a desalinization plan.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. Anyone else wishing to address the Governance Committee on this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the Governance Committee and simply note that absolutely it should be in the area of public debate. It's really the Waste Management District's decision, at least the upcoming decision, and that meeting is this Friday. Okay. And that'll be a public meeting. Any other items? We'll move on to discussion item. Any suggestions for items to be placed on future agendas? I'll first ask Cal-Am if you have items that you'll need to bring to the Governance Committee in the next few months that we should be aware of and start to agendize.
Yeah, if you want to come up. I'll start off by saying most of them, you know, the list that we have is the updates and those things are obviously they'll be there every time. And Ian talked a little bit earlier about some pipeline stuff. We'll probably bring that forward.
And we'll have the value engineering that will need to go through the Governance Committee, and we'll work on that towards the end of this month and early next month, early August. When do you need a decision on or a recommendation on the value engineering? It's a pretty short timeline between the now and the 60% design, which would presumably need to incorporate.
So sooner rather than later.
Right.
And some of the items are pretty, I don't know what the right word to say is, juicy, maybe that's a word.
Yeah.
One of them would be the percent efficiency of the plant.
Right, that's the $6 million decision.
And so, you know, when we did the RFP package and, you know, we had Alex Westner with SPI, it was in the team, and we all kind of took the position that we took a number that we felt safe with. Maybe we were too safe if you look at what the value engineering guys were saying, but that still should, you know, still needs to be debated. We'll have to come back to terms. So the issue ultimately comes down to filing and what kind of filing are you going to get? Because if you started at a higher efficiency rate and you have the filing, then you're going to shut yourself in the foot. You start a little bit low rate, maybe you don't have that filing issue quite as quickly. So there'll need to be a robust discussion on what number we ultimately pick. And that affects the guys going through the 60% design, because ultimately that changes a lot of things.
So just in terms of agenda, because I don't want to get the substance of it, we'll wait.
Yes.
Wait on, but we'll definitely need to have a governance committee meeting in the shortly after the release of the value engineering report, and certainly from the water authority perspective, we'll want to have a water authority meeting in advance of that, because I'll want to represent the full water authority position on that. That's a key decision and big decision. Any other items for future agendas?
Yeah, they're all good. I'd just add that we should probably just keep this test well RFP on there as a general update item. Because in August, I'll be able to give an update, and then after that, we'll be able to come in for with bids.
Okay.
No, I mean the August Marina Council meeting could necessitate that and figure out what the approach is at that point.
Yeah. Any items that be suggested by any member of the public? Seeing none, I will bring it back, and unless there's anything else, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
So did you say that